So this is another tradition we have at TATS. So there's a couple first timers here. And we've taken to having a rapport sitting pretty much at every TAT meeting, and different people have led it. I've led it a couple of times over the years, and it's just one of my passions. I love doing it. So it's something that's captivated me ever since I met Richard Rose. And back in 2010, I actually wrote a little essay. I have a website called searchwithin.org, and I wrote this essay on spiritual rapport. So I'm going to do something a little different tonight, because a lot of people over the years have said, Phil, what's the difference between rapport, meditation? What are you trying to get at when we're sitting together here? So in the vein, it seems like this weekend we've had a lot more direction, you know, guided meditation. I'm going to read from this to give you a really good idea of what rapport means, what it is, at least in my perspective. And this is another way of beyond mindfulness in a group effort. So I'll just read excerpts. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Richard Rose readily established a basic rapport with his neighbors, friends, and TAT group members. And he would often change character roles so as to engage people in their own interest and language. So he sort of met, you know, he lived in hillbilly land and he was in rapport with the local hillbillies, but then he would change his character to get in rapport with people who came to TAT meetings or were interested in spiritual endeavors. And the other thing, the other side that you might just hear about it is he used humor a lot. I don't know that I've ever shed so many tears laughing and having my belly ache around Richard Rose. It was just a type of rapport that he had where he could get the whole room just laughing. He was so quick-witted. And it is a type of rapport once you experience that. Everybody has, I think, when everybody gets the giggles and it's kind of like we're all on the same page with that. But on a more substantive level, Rose mastered the art of sensing the energy or electricity in a room full of people. And if he was leading the discussion, it was, as was often the case at TAT meetings, he allowed the conversation to go quiet at a propitious moment. Usually, these spontaneous rapports were the most intense, although spontaneous is misleading because he and the group created the proper environment for spontaneity to occur. Mysteriously, when the room fell silent, a palpable energy or electricity manifested throughout the room, and it was particularly discernible among those who were sensitive. Occasionally, Rose could see the energy, describing it as a haze that floated horizontally over the heads of people in the room. And he would either direct it at someone by pointing or sense that it was settling on someone and predict who would get hit with the energy. Now, this isn't something that I've seen other people master since Rose has disappeared from the scene. There was something about him being very in tune with that electricity. In some of those cases, the recipient would be jolted, often to his or her benefit. Does this imply that an external force or intelligence exists? He speculated, but to my knowledge, didn't indicate a firm conclusion about the energy's origin. Rose did, however, make it very clear that he did not visualize or project it as his energy. So you've heard the saying, when two or more gather, there I go. It's a similar thing that when people gather with the same intention as this, something special manifests. So here's a couple of tips that I included in here. So traditionally, an intentional rapport sitting is prearranged at a specific time among those who feel drawn to participate. Regularly sitting with the same group of people, perhaps weekly, will have the greatest results. The group sits in a small circle, and after everyone settles in, the facilitator may read a short spiritual-related topic or a piece of poetry. All should remain silent after the reading for about 20 minutes, and most people tend to close their eyes. But you can do whatever feels right for you. You don't have, this doesn't have to be a prescribed approach. I do think sitting still tends to be the most beneficial. Participants should remain at attention and aware rather than lost in their thoughts, and gently turn their mental head back to center or a neutral position, rather than allowing thoughts to drift in endless streams. Rose spoke of the attention as being focused neither on the self nor outward, but between. Simply remain in that which witnesses. If the participants aren't lost in their thoughts, if they maintain an attitude of openness and acceptance and put their feelers out there, so this is definitely more of a feeling exercise. And I guess if I were to say there's a contrast with meditation, it's a feeling outward into the room in the shared space. So it's more likely in that environment that some degree of rapport will develop. An environment is created where people tend to let go of self-conscious thinking, which opens up the possibility that a non-ordinary state of perception may occur. Afterwards, a truer mood will reveal itself. And I've felt this many, many times after rapport. So it's a sense of harmony, camaraderie, deep friendship with those in the room. And it just tends to pervade the whole group. In fact, individuals may even feel a weighty gravity, unwilling to move in their comfort with the atmosphere. Indeed, those who feel rapport will know their fellows in a way that thousands of words can never convey. Now, Rose often mentioned, he got this idea, or at least resonated with the Quakers, who seemed to do a very similar thing. So I'll read you a quote from a Quaker book, which talks about the form of rapport, or worship as they practice. And so in this case, here's from the Quakers. The practice of sitting together in silence is often called expectant waiting. It is a time when friends become inwardly still and clear aside the activities of the mind and body that usually fill their attention, in order to create an opportunity to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is not a time for thinking, for deliberate intellectual exercise. It is a time for spiritual receptivity. So it is important not to clog one's mind with one's own busy activities. Nonetheless, thoughts will occur in the silence. Some thoughts will be distractions and should be set aside, but some thoughts or images or feelings may arise that seem to come from a deeper source and merit attention. If you are visited by a spiritual presence, if you seem to experience perceptions that are drawn from a deeper well or are illuminated with a brighter light, then let these impressions dwell in you and be receptive to the inward teacher. Each person finds his or her own ways of centering down or entering deep stillness during the meeting. You are encouraged to explore ways to center down until you discover what works for you. So I think it's, again, they would have had regular gatherings among their participants, and that's sort of what Rose was saying too, that a very deep rapport could take place if you were to have, say, weekly meetings with, you know, local group members and got together in this endeavor. So I have some in my conclusion. I wrote from a spiritual. Now this paper has a lot more about transmission and other types of rapport. And again, if you're interested, you can look up the full essay on searchwithin.org. So here I wrote, from a spiritual or direct mind standpoint, rapport allows fellow seekers to know each other. We simply must know each other to help our fellows burn out their own resistor to truth, capital T truth. The electricity felt during a rapport sitting is undeniable, as are the feelings of camaraderie afterwards. The electricity is mysterious and warrants more exploration. Lest anyone be concerned, it is utterly safe. All rapport arranged or spontaneous between two individuals or among a group is ripe for great discovery, a discovery beyond anything imaginable. Before ending, I offer several notes of caution. It is counterproductive to coast on the day-to-day spiritual path and then rely on a rapport sitting for a deeper spiritual experience. So you don't want to use, if you do have regular rapport sittings, as just a crutch or a substitute for, you know, a lot of things we've talked about this weekend, ways for looking within and self-inquiry. Likewise, setting high expectations of phenomena, such as experiencing grand electricity or deep rapport in each encounter, may distract attention and nullify the potential for a productive outcome that might otherwise arise with an attitude of indifference. And finally, relying on transmission as a substitute for personal introspective work is without question doomed to failure. In summary, it's important for both seekers and finders to learn the skill of getting inside another's head and consistently putting out your feelers during spiritual meetings. And if the moment is right for spontaneous rapport, a realized person can allow nothing to pervade except awareness. Those who are sensitive will be shaken to a greater degree and may get a glimpse of their true nature if the mind accepts what they see. This, I believe, is the maximum type of transmission. Nothing is transmitted. Rather, the student realizes that they are what already is, which is an infinite, non-individualized no-thing. So, I know I've heard people debate about transmission, and that's not what we're trying to do here. It is kind of, in my opinion, it's always being transmitted. We're just not looking at what's being offered. But there's something about, I tend to be more of a feeling type of person, and there's something about people coming together in this environment that heightens a sense of feeling, a sense of electricity, a sense of camaraderie for me. So that's it from the paper. And we'll switch gears just to lead into it. So I'll have a bell here, and it'll start with a bell and then end with a bell 20 minutes later. And I think one of the things I always love about rapport is even though it's so hot outside, I insist that the door is open because I just love the sounds of the crickets and the outside just permeating the room. So it might be a little uncomfortable with the heat, but I tend to just like the sound, so you'll have to suffer. Okay, so in the vein of deep spiritual friendship, I invite you to take the attention from yourself and support each other in the best way you know how for the next 20 minutes. I invite you to be with your fellows with an intention of openness and selflessness. So go ahead and close your eyes. To have this purpose of openness and selflessness, just naturally allow your feeling sense to go outward. To have an intention of opening up your mind, your heart, and every pore in your body to what's here. I'm simply inviting you to directly feel the space within this special circle of friends, and just allow everything else, sensations in the body, sounds and other sensory perceptions, and thoughts and feelings to naturally come and go. And if you find yourself drifting away from what's here, just gently bring yourself back to the space that's between us. So as a way of expressing our intent in this session, I'm going to ask you to say the following two sentences, and we're going to say it in unison three times. So listen first, and then we'll all repeat the sentences. So the words are, I desire the truth, We come together in pursuit of truth. So let's all say it in unison. I desire the truth. We come together in pursuit of truth. I desire the truth. We come together in pursuit of truth. I desire the truth. We come together in pursuit of truth. This place, these people, these moments are all forged together towards a point of no return.